And welcome to a very mad buggy issue of RP Grinders. Episode 604, I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. Gentlemen, other than the audio issues we've been having, how are you?
You're going to edit that part out, right? Like, they're not going to hear that like false start shit, right?
No, I mean, on the archives they will, like if they're listening on YouTube or Twitch, yeah. Probably, but not on, you know, not on the show proper. Like if you're downloading on the archives, you will not have heard Breakman screw up. So, you know, just thought I'd throw that out there. And you will not have heard me exile Freak 5 Chaos, who's in chat, or Wyland, who's in chat, who get exiles before the show even started. Bernie did get an exile, and she's sitting right next to me. So there you go. All right, gentlemen. How are you doing? Break, how's it going?
All right, I guess.
Enjoying the baseball season? I'm not really enjoying it, man.
Yeah. There's some cool things I do like the double headers on Sunday. They've started like 7 innings instead of 9 innings.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, that's, I wish they would keep that.
I really like that. Yeah, yeah. It's different and I really like it. I would enjoy baseball more if the Reds could pitch.
Yeah. Lately, if our relievers would like even pitch at all, it would be really nice. But the Rockies are 12-6, so life is good right now. We're in first place, the third best record in the league. So, you know, you got to.
The Reds starting pitcher gave up 9 in the second inning yesterday.
Our relievers gave up like 37 runs in 3 games, so you know.
Yeah, like it's just, this is painful to watch.
Yeah,
it's painful.
Yeah, yeah. All right, enough about baseball. Eric, how you doing, man?
All right, I guess.
All right. Well, let's get right into the news. We got a stack show for you guys today. A bunch of reviews. We're gonna whittle down our N64 games down to 16, I believe, by the end of today. So. Lots to get going here.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, you are up.
Okay, Mortal Shell has a release date for the physical release of the game, which is October 2nd for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and even the PC.
Yeah, I think we talked about this.
But it comes out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And if you just want it digitally.
Yeah. I think we talked about this a little bit last week.
So the physical edition will cost the same as the digital edition.
I don't get that. Yeah.
Yeah. If you like your physicals, you don't have to worry about paying extra.
Yeah.
Unless you live in Europe, which it's $34.99 instead of $29.99 in Euros.
Yeah.
But it contains a fold-out poster, and thanks, Ads, for rolling my screen down so I could see the text anymore.
I hate that shit, man. There should be some fucking moratorium on that nonsense.
And it apparently has a soft-backed art book, which, okay.
Okay.
All right. Probably held together very loosely.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Piece of chicken wire.
Yeah,
and it'll be available at retailers, so you'll have to get it through some place like Limited Run Games.
Yeah, Wyland says I'm hoping New Mutants gets a digital same day because we were talking about movies. I'm hoping too.
Of course, the physical PC release only contains a code. Yeah. So here's your free map.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Look what they're doing with Black Widow. Instead of like doing something where they could, you know, bring it out, a movie that's been done for a while now.
Yeah.
They're going to hold it back until next year because Disney.
You know, Disney missed out because they could have got a lot. How many people would have subscribed just for that movie, man? Even if it was for a month or two. I mean,
they're doing Mulan. They should do what they're doing.
$30.
Yeah, I know. The price is outrageous. But, I mean,
on top of the subscription you're already paying for.
It's on top of the subscription, but you get to keep the movie. So you get to watch the movie again anytime you want it. So
yeah,
but if you get Plus One,
as long as you
matter.
Have the subscription.
I like that model.
They defeat the whole purpose of having of Disney Plus, where you could watch the movie anytime anyway.
Well, but the difference is you get it for one. So if you get rid of Disney Plus, you still have it. And for two, you know, you get to see it before. So I like that model. I just think that they should just include it, like, with their subscription service. Hang on, Eric. Hang on. I just think they should...
Because they would. I think they would charge more. I think they would up the subscription price if they did that. If they started doing, like, their, say, the next Avengers movie, like, they did it in the theater and online, like, at the same time, and they start charging, you know, a larger monthly subscription for stuff like that, I'd be into it.
I don't know about...
instead of $8?
No, I don't know about a larger subscription price. I think their subscription price is the sweet spot. But I think they should do, like if they wanted to raise it to $40, let's say, like, for big premium releases, but you get to...
$40 a month is more than I'd want.
No, not a month. Like, for the movie itself. Like, let's say... You know, the new Avengers.
Oh, I want it to go lower.
Hold on, Eric. Hold on. I mean, I would too. Ideally, I want them to give it to me for free, but that shit's just not going to happen, right? But let's say if they did something like $40, they give you, they let you have unlimited access, whether you have Disney Plus or not, and you get to see a day of, and that would be kind of okay, because what do you pay? You pay for Disney Plus. Does things right?
They might as well give you the
hold on, Eric.
Footage from the
it's 4K, film. Right? Which not a lot of the you have to pay extra a month to do 4K on all the other services, right? So they don't. I mean, their 4K stuff is just it's just included. So I don't have a huge problem with that, but I mean there something's got to give here. You can't have your cake and eat it too, like they're trying. So
I can.
Oh well, I mean we can. But, you know, that's just whatever. But we got to move on here.
I don't understand what that even fucking really means, though.
What?
Like, you're saying, like, you get your cake and you eat it, too. Like, what? Are you saying somebody would get a cake
I'm saying,
and not get
I think it's kind of like how you get a birthday cake on your birthday, but Eric. You don't necessarily get to eat all of it. Because I had a pie for my birthday, and I just had a piece or two, and then
everybody
else ate who eats an entire cake?
No, I get it, Break. But what I'm saying is, like you know, all these corporations, and we'll Eric's got a heck of a fucking stinko later on talking about corporations. But corporations want their cake, your mama's cake, your daddy's cake, and everybody else's cake, and they want to eat that, and then throw up, and then eat it again, and then make you look at them eat it, and then you know that's just the way it is. But something has to give, like, you know, it can't, I mean, when does the greed end? Like, capitalism is, you know, it's coming to an end.
Like, I get they kind of need to make their money back on the Mulan and Black Widow, but, like, why not, like, work with the theaters to do digital screenings and, like, pay $15 for a ticket?
Like, what was the budget on Black Widow? It couldn't have been, like that much. I mean, fuck, it's an action movie starring, I mean, I know Scarlett Johansson's expensive.
Really lame looking Taskmaster.
Taskmaster looks okay, but
yeah, I mean, yeah, okay at best. Like he's not, he doesn't look like the way we wanted him to look.
I know, we wanted him to look like in the Spider-Man game. Did you guys see him in the Spider-Man game? He looks totally badass.
I was thinking like the white cloak and the skeleton face.
Marvel versus Capcom, bro.
Type or what design is he? What happened? I think we just all died.
Yeah, hang on. Sorry. Sorry.
Anyway, what were we doing? Were we rigging the noose or something like that, I think?
Yeah.
Okay. Bless Unleashed launches soon for PlayStation 4. It'll be launching on August 20th. All right, closed beta will take place between the 20th and 24th. And it doesn't say what the date is as far as release, just an open beta. Or closed beta, but there's a sign up, so go ahead.
I'm guessing within the next 3 weeks of the beta ending.
Yeah, I mean, that makes the most sense. It's just weird this article doesn't say that when the release date is.
Yeah.
Because, like, the beta of Immortal Shell was, like, about 3 weeks ago.
So. I mean, that makes sense. That's what they've done with the last Halo they tested online. They released it, like, the beta was, like, a month before the release of the game. Because they just needed to stress test the servers and stuff like that.
Yeah. Let me know if the audio is okay. It's going to be one of those shows where the audio is going to be touch and go. So, you know, just bear with us. If you're listening on the archives, I apologize for this episode.
As I want to play Halo Infinite, I have no confidence that it's actually going to end up being a good game, because they're gonna anthem the fuck out of it, and it's not going to turn out well.
No. Let's keep our hopes up, because I actually have big hopes for the new Xbox, man. Like, I'm all in on the Xbox. I think the Xbox specs and the price is going to be right. Like, it's going to be there. I mean, it just depends on the games, and it's disappointing.
It's got to at least be better than what's going on with the Crystal Dynamics Adventures game from Square Enix.
Yeah. Okay. Avengers beta is also pretty janky. I heard Avengers just plain sucks, man. So, you know,
I wish they'd spent some money and got, like, not necessarily the movie actor voices, but like got the cartoon voices or something.
Or how about this?
I think with this game, they didn't know what they wanted to do with it, so they just made two games, one with a campaign and one with this open world mission bullshit.
Yeah.
That makes it look more like Destiny.
Yeah, Sterling did a really good video on
And then it got worse when they decided to make characters as exclusive to certain versions of the game.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, there's only one so far, but that's Spider-Man for PS4. But I'm guessing they could probably try, and they will try to do an exclusive character to make up for the lack of Spider-Man.
Like, why couldn't
they do like lame characters or characters people don't really care about? You know,
why couldn't they have just done the like?
Not only that, but then there's all the commercial advertising being done by places like Verizon
and the monetizing and all that shit. The thing I don't get is, why didn't they just model it after like the movie characters? You know, they look completely bland and uninspiring.
Disney said no.
Well, Disney sucks.
Trying to make do.
Well, I don't understand that. Why would they say no to that? It's so dumb. Like, just fucking.
Maybe they said yes, but you have to pay us this much.
Oh boy,
likely it was that. It was money. Like, yeah, we'll do it for
$1 billion. Yeah. Dungeon Busters in chat.
Put your pinky finger to your lips and say $100 billion.
Yeah. Dungeon Busters in chat, he says, Avengers beta is also pretty janky. It's not super exciting. I got to use Thor in the opening part of the beta, but I can't when it opens up, which was sad. Also, when it, quote-unquote, lost network connection, it stops the whole game to let you know, which was so annoying. Some games just show a pop-up and life goes on without interruption, but not Avengers, no.
It's like Assassin's Creed and having to be always online, otherwise your game gets fucked.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on, guys, because we got tons to get to here. This comes to us from RPGsite.net. Marvelous Europe details Sakuna of Rice and Ruin, which we talked about before. Goldust Harvest edition for Europe and Australia. And
this is a special edition I was telling you about.
Yeah, and it looks worthy. It comes with the game, 132-page art book, which sounds pretty meaty. You know, it's not one of those little shitty, you know.
I'm pretty sure this is exclusive to Europe, though, which kind of sucks.
That does suck. 3-disc CD soundtrack, double-sided poster. I love double-sided posters. I lost them in my divorce, but I used to have a bunch of laminated posters, and I had a ton of double-sided posters. But
what a shitty lawyer.
At this point, the Avengers game is basically like a poor man's version of Alliance, because Alliance, you get like the newest Alliance lets you play 34 characters total, and you've got a larger starting roster. In this game, you only have 6 and might get a handful later.
Yeah. It wasn't a matter of lawyers, break, man. It just, you know, I just didn't think of it. Like, I lost a lot of shit, man. Like,
okay. I was just like, man, what kind of lawyer doesn't even get you fucking posters at the very least? Like,
no,
goddamn,
I mean,
failed.
In my mind, it's not a big deal. I was going to give my collection to my kids anyways, but, you know, it just sucks because I had a lot of, I mean, I spent, lamination is expensive, you know, to get like posters laminated and stuff. But every time I say lamination, I always think of like Conan, even though it's a different word. But
lamentation.
The lamination of the posters.
That's
what
I said, lamination says.
Exactly. I wanted to work out, though. I'm hungry for another Alliance Legends type mark. That'll never happen, Dungeon. That Switch game was pretty janky. Okay, let's move on. Eric,
Sonic Hit's a fun game, but it suffers immensely from the absolutely terrible load times.
Yeah. All right, Eric, you're up.
And the fact that there isn't enough uniqueness between each character.
Yeah. All right, Eric, let's move on.
The Pop-Up Dungeon is a game, and it's out now, PC. Humble Games, so the Humble Store, basically, that's exclusive there. And developer Triple B Titles. That's funny, Triple B instead of Triple A.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's also on Steam, but it's priced at $24.99. 10% discount for the first week of sale, and that'll be ending soon. So if this sounds like your thing, but it's a tactical roguelike RPG where you can create any weapon, ability, enemy, or hero, and they're all paper box type characters.
Yeah. I have an interesting question for you guys later on in Free For All after we do our N64 games related to tactical RPGs, but I'll hold off until then. All right, let's move on here. This game looks actually kind of unique. If you're into tactical RPGs, it looks cool. It's got a nifty little art style, but there you go. All right, Brake, what do we got?
Coming to us live from RPG Site, Dante joined Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne HD Remaster as paid DLC.
Of course. Of course.
Well, I'll listen to the price.
I kind of had to, because it's basically letting you switch the mode of the game itself. Because he takes the place of Raido.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 980 yen. Oof, so, what? You know, roughly $10.
I don't like that pricing. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you, Eric. Yeah, it's kind of
a lot for a single character, though.
Yeah.
So, additionally, the remaster adds the Pierce effect to Dante's passive Sun's Oath ability, a buff which makes him more equal to Raidou as a battle combatant.
Yeah. Oh, so he's actually more useful now. Okay.
Yeah, he was pretty useless in the last one. Okay.
He's only useful for when you got him and not for very long.
Yeah.
It's out in Japan in October and it'll be in the West in spring of next year.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited for this game, but Nocturne was one of my all-time favorite PS2 games.
I'm sure it's only paying $10 for a character. Fuck.
Yeah, this character, it's going to be on a sale.
Yeah, either that or I'll wait for like a special edition where they include it and, you know.
Yeah, that's
something exactly. Like that. But all right, let's.
It has more to do with the fact that it's being sublicensed to them by Capcom.
I know. It's just petty, though. You know, I mean, come on, man. It's like when you go through life and you look at something and you happen to see, like in a movie, if you happen to notice like a Mountain Dew can like way in the background, like should Mountain Dew paid for that? I mean, come on, man! Like seriously, like it's like when we do this podcast. Like,
chances are they didn't know it wasn't even there.
Hold on, Eric. Like when I do this podcast, like in passing, I'll play a trailer, not even like a fucking gameplay trailer of a Namco Bandai game, and I get flagged every fucking time, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I know it has to do with the algorithms, but can't Namco Bandai say, hey, look, you know, as long as they're not, like, you know, like, abusing shit, like, I mean, change the...
It was a nice little extra in the Western releases for the original game, but here now it just feels like you're paying for an advertisement.
Yeah.
Can't we just
that.
Like say like a different name, like just like kind of off a little bit, like
yeah, like,
you know, like we're not playing like Namco games. We're not playing Pac-Man. We're playing Pac-Man.
Yeah, we're playing Plac-Man. You know, yep. Something like that. No, it's not even that. It's just like the video, like the algorithm.
I think it would have been a lot funnier instead of getting Dante. We got Dante from DMC.
Yeah, that would have been funny, man. That would have pissed a lot of people off. But all right, let's move on to the next story from RPGsite.net. Indie tactical RPG, which this is the second tactical RPG we talked about today, Live by the Sword Tactics, releasing for Steam in early 2021. This looks like kind of like an RPG Maker tactical RPG. It looks okay. It's got a nifty little...
Sequel, Die by the Sword Tactics.
Die by the Sword. That'd be fun if they did a sequel to that. But it includes multiple game modes. Sorry, guys. Hang on.
A dog?
Yeah. Hold on. Anyways, Live by the Sword, it's a story mode that features a group of adventurers who discover an evil plot. Roguelite adventure mode that has you building the world as you explore it. Ranked and unranked online battles between two players. Local and LAN battles between two players. Tools to create custom battlefields. And then there's different classes, of course, and stuff like that. But it looks like a cute little game. It's a little rough. It looks a little rough to me. But I agree that the sequel to Live by the Sword should be Die by the Sword. And then Resurrected by the Sword. So there you go. Let's see. What do we got? Lion Switch was okay, but it can get so grindy. I don't mind.
Yeah, because apparently your characters, like New Game Plus, just reset their level, which is stupid.
Yeah.
And you can't create a new character without deleting the other one, which is also stupid.
Yeah. All right, Eric, you're up.
From RPG site, we've got a game called The Magister, which is a murder mystery RPG releasing for Steam in late 2020. Publisher Digirati and developer Nerdu Productions have announced The Magister, a card-based murder mystery RPG with tactical combat. It's released for PC via Steam in late 2020.
Yeah.
An agent assigned to enforce the will of the Emperor and the rule of law in the far-flung provinces of the Empire, recently dispatched to remote rural village of Silverhurst, you must investigate grim demise of the fellow magister. You have 14 days to solve the case.
Yeah. Looks interesting. I don't know. I'm not into card games. Apparently this is some type of...
It's not a card game. It just uses cards as a battle mechanic.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, the text menu.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man. I it's just something about that, Eric, that I just don't quite like, and I don't know. But it looks okay. I mean, you know, graphically it's fine and, you know, stuff like that. But we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. All right, Break, you're up. Did we lose Break?
I don't know.
Let me check to see if we lost the Break-a-mon. No, he's there. He's just on mute.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, we hear you now.
Do you hear me? The bacon pull you away.
Okay, you hear me. Okay, cool. Coming to us live from RPG Site, narrative adventure game Werewolf, The Apocalypse, Heart of the Forest, coming to PC in quarter 4, 2020. So, yeah, I guess sometime October, November, December.
Yeah.
Heart of the Force is a narrative adventure game with RPG elements based in the World of Darkness universe. You're put in the shoes of a girl named Maya, I guess, who travels to Poland to learn about the history of her family. Gameplay focuses on three main resources: rage, willpower, and personality, which will affect how you interact with various situations in the game. Personality is subdivided into four auspice stats, which will also affect which dialogue options are available at given moments.
I like this. This is
interesting.
Would this be more like a visual novel, I'm guessing, Eric? Is that what it kind of be? I just, this seems like a...
I'm guessing the personality ones. Eric, basically talk your way out of a situation, yeah, type deal. So it might become something like that at that, yeah, point.
All right, Eric. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, let me read this part here. The game adapts to the mechanics of the legendary title from the World of Darkness universe, emulating the experience of a classic role-playing session. An immersive narrative that can measure up to the best mystery novels. Beautiful, distinctive collage art that combines hand-illustrated characters with pictures of real places to inspire your imagination. By making tough choices that often bring dramatic consequences, you will affect your character attributes. You will affect your character's attributes, rage, willpower, and health. This impacts your ability to perform certain actions, as well as change the range of available choices and the presentation of the world. The game will analyze your behavior and determine what kind of werewolf you are. This all sounds really cool.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt Break, but...
Frank could be a werewolf.
How dare you. look... I like the idea of this game, and I'll tell you why. I used to play the actual tabletop RPG Werewolf, and it was definitely an intriguing game. It had a lot of political behind the scenes stuff that you had to get to the bottom to, and it's a fantastic tabletop game. And if this game emulates anything like that, I'm all in. I just wish they would put it on like the Switch or PS4 or Xbox.
See how well it performs on PC first.
Yeah,
this is sure. This doesn't look like a game if you're looking for like action or speed or something like that. This looks like a lot of reading and which I don't
from what I could tell. Pretty much has the same setup as Radical Dreamers did, where it's a choose your own adventure type adventure game.
But as
combat sections.
Yeah, choose your own adventure with depending on your actions, like different talking trees, like dialogue trees and stuff like that. This is an intriguing game, just like the game. And I know they're coming out with an actual action RPG. Game, so this should be good.
Yeah, let me read the last part of it here. It's Tales for World of Darkness veterans and newcomers looking for an accessible entry into this rich, acclaimed universe. They teach you to fear rather than to be angry, but fear solves nothing. Anger is there for a reason, to shield and protect you. Anger is the part of you that cares. Rage gets things done.
Yeah.
That's how it ended.
Yeah, no, it's this is an intriguing title. Freak 5 says, "Holy shit, I will play the fuck out of this game." Freak, did you ever play Werewolf the Apocalypse or whatever they called it? Werewolf the Apocalypse. I had a good time playing it. D8 system? D6?
No, it's a card game like Magic.
No, I'm talking about the tabletop game. I know what Werewolf is, Eric. I know what this game is. I think you used a bunch of D12s, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember what it was, like 6 D12s, I believe. I can't remember the exact setup, but it's been so many years since I played it. But it's such
six
a fun
M&Ms game. And Bazaars and who are the other guys in that group? Shit. I can't think of the other members of that group right now.
Your brain's not working as usual.
No, okay. It's true.
It's broken.
He hasn't had enough alcohol. It's defective.
Yeah, you haven't had enough beer, man.
No, it's defective. I got, what's that, Abbey Normal? That's what I was told when they put it in.
All right, let's move on. Speaking of abnormal, next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Open world action RPG Spellmaster, The Saga, to release for Steam Early Access in quarter 1, 2021. So it's an open world role-playing game set in an epic, when have we heard this before? Epic fantasy universe filled with magic, monsters, and mysteries. Take the role of an ambitious wizard who is looking for a way to improve and share his powerful knowledge. Jesus Christ, I'm just going to go over the features, guys, sorry. build and roll your very own magic academy. Train ambitious young students and recruit famous wizards to help you. An open and diverse world. Jesus, so cliche. Different magic schools that can be combined to match any gameplay style. Dynamic day-night cycle that affects gameplay. Your choices matter, which we've heard a million times before. So there you go. If you're interested,
very gothic feel. I just hope it's better than Arcana was.
Yeah, D10, Freak 5 says. Yeah, it was like, wasn't it like... like 6D10s or something was like the base that you used for almost everything, which was, it's all those like Vampire the Masquerade, Werewolf, the Apocalypse. It was, Mage. There was another one too, man. I can't remember all of them, but they were all in the same universe. And
Vampire.
I said Vampire the Masquerade.
Cyberpunk.
Punk was not in that same universe.
I thought you were talking about 10 die games.
No. I was talking about like the games in that universe. It was like Wraith, I think, was another one.
Wraith.
There was a couple more. I can't remember all of them, but anyways. Who did that last story? I think it was me. So, Eric, you're up. Mummy the Resurrection. That's what it was, yeah.
From RPG sites, we've got Oceanhorn 2 has been announced. Oceanhorn 2, Knights of the Lost Realm for Nintendo Switch and PC. And it's looking like it's got more of the Breath of the Wild energy in it, but it looks like it plays also more like a traditional 3D Zelda game, but with RPG mechanics thrown on top.
Yeah. No, I mean, there you go. Anything else on this, Eric?
I'm surprised. Well, I don't think the original developers for the first game are here, but which is probably why it looks so drastically different.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll be a much better game. Because I didn't hate Oceanhorn. I liked it, but it was very simple.
Yeah.
That's a, but I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. Mummy the Resurrection, a.k.a. Frank the Game.
Why lend your exiled, you son of a bitch? let's see. Yeah, this game looks okay, Eric. Looking forward to it. It looks okay. Totally down for games like this. And it's on the Switch, which is a plus, too. For mobile, too, that's kind of weird. But, okay. All right. Breakman, speaking of Vampire the Masquerade, you're up.
It's not that weird. I mean, the original was also a mobile game.
All right, Breakman.
I know, I'm waiting for it to load, sorry.
That's okay.
Coming to us live from RPG to Andy Kipling and Jacob Mumphy. Our goal has always been to deliver the best game possible to immerse you into a Seattle reimagined in the world of darkness and deliver a worthy successor to the original Bloodline games. Due to the quality bar and ambitions we have set for ourselves, we have made a difficult decision that we need more time. I approve. I like this. This means that our goal is to release in 2020 is no longer possible. Moving launch is one of the changes we are making to ensure the best player experience possible. I definitely like this. This is not a decision taken lightly, nor is the first option we considered. We will share more. Your first option was going to do what a lot of big developers do and release an unfinished game. We will share more information. We'll just patch it later.
Yeah.
We will share more information in the coming months on launch timing and other organizational changes that help us achieve this goal. Yeah. We understand that this will be a disappointment to many of you, and I think those people need to just shut their mouths and just be patient.
And go fuck themselves.
Our ambition is echoed through the many parts of the community. We hope you understand that. While difficult, this is the right call. We thank you for all your patience while we continue to build Bloodlines 2. Go ahead, Frank.
It said, there was a line in there. It said, go fuck yourselves. I don't know if you included that. Yeah.
No, that was what I said.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Okay.
That's the line I added for the bitching, the bitching populace. Like, why? Why are you going to make us wait for this game?
You know,
Jesus Christ. Like, they're pushing it back because they said, we don't like it yet. We're not done with this game. We want more time. I wish more developers did that.
Yeah.
There are so many games that have been released which just aren't done. I mean, look out Fallout 76, for God's sakes.
Yeah. I think Questbuster in chat, but Dungeons, he says, translation, Cyberpunk 2077 is releasing close to when we wanted to and would destroy our sales. So time to move.
I'm not even looking that forward to Cyberpunk because
I am.
When I heard that it wasn't going to have, like, race relations issues regarding Black Lives Matter, I was like, fuck this game.
Yeah. So time to move and use the time to polish the game.
And it also is incredibly weebish because it has absolutely ridiculous random Japanese word thrown together name for a weapon.
Where can I play Bloodlines 1 Dungeon? Is that on anything I can play other than PC? Because
GOG.
It's
on GOG.
Yeah,
if it's just a dog. I'm like, what? I'm kind of confused. I was thinking of the game, like the safety bars got the alcohol barrel on right. They wear that.
Dog though can play it on your Mac.
Wyland says, "Is it bad that I thought it was coming out 2021 to begin with?" Yes, it is bad, Wyland. So there you go. But luckily, this will come out on the PS4 and Xbox One stuff like that. So. I'll actually have a chance to play it. So, there you go.
As far as Cyberpunk 20, 77 is concerned, I'm just going to wait for the Game of the Year edition to come out, because I think, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm in agreement, Eric. Like, I any AAA title from here on out, I'm just going to... And, you know, aside from console launches, because you have to buy games at launch, you know, like console launches to play them, I'm just going to wait for sales and, you know, stuff like that, like Game of the Year editions and stuff
Every
like that.
Every once in a while, there's going to be a AAA title where I'm going to go out and be like, yes, I've got to get that. Like,
you know,
Halo for me, obviously. But for the most part, yeah, I'm with you.
I just
can't.
I only have one game that I do that to, and I'll be talking about...
I regret buying Neo 2 when it was new, because I haven't even gotten around to playing it yet. And I decided I'm just going to wait until I get a PS5.
Yeah. See, that's good, Eric. I mean, that's good thinking. Like, I was just talking to Bernie about this today. Like, there's only one game that I will buy day of, and that's Dragon Quest. You know, if it's not Dragon Quest, I'm okay just waiting. I have a good enough...
And I was only saying that because, like, you get it for $40 an hour, $20 depending on when you buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, there are things I want. Like, I do want to Switch and stuff like that, but then I think about, like, when am I going to get time to play it?
Yeah, well,
I've got, like, the Genesis Man.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is,
all 50 games to play through on that thing.
Yeah, the good thing about
just,
the...
Well, it's just there's so much time. I mean, there's not enough time in so many games.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good thing about the Switch is it is portable, you know, so that's the one big plus it has on the other systems is you can just take it and go. And then when you get home, you plug it back in and, you know, you're playing on your TV and stuff. So that's a big... I think that's a huge advantage for them, but... you know, it's Nintendo. Like, they're always behind the times. You know, there's bigger and better games on
Nintendo. Still systems. Doesn't have a cart function on the eShop. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
It's fine as long as they make fun. Like, Nintendo's, I think, better than any company when it comes to making fun.
That's true too. You know, the one thing that I really wish they would do is like put all of their Nintendo and Super Nintendo catalog online. I think that would be. That would be really
cool. I'm
so
sick of constant. I'd love to be able to play games like that. Yeah,
I think the only games trickling out of that service should be the third-party ones, because that requires negotiation. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But Nintendo, what are you doing with your own stuff?
No, but I mean, even those ones, like, it wouldn't take that much negotiate. I mean, really? I mean, we're going to worry about how much it...
Eric. Off of somewhere.
Like, honestly, how much money would it take to get a game like, I don't know, Jaws or Friday the 13th on the service? You know what I mean? Come on, man. It's not rocket science. It's not that big of a deal. Just come to some kind of an agreement and let's...
Are you talking about the NES, like two of the worst NES titles?
Yes.
Did you really just mention those two?
Yes.
Of all the games you could pick out of that, you picked two of the worst?
Yes, I did. I'm going to do this last story. It's real quick. Elder Scrolls Online is coming to PS5 and Series X. No idea when, doesn't really say. So there you go. But that's fairly exciting. Dungeon says, when I played Bloodlines, I chose to be... Malkavian because of their insanity. The dialogue options were just as bizarre, which is great. And Bernie says those were my favorite NES games. So
what the Jaws and Nightmare on Elm Street?
Oh my, no, Nightmare on Elm Street was actually a decent game. Friday the 13th.
No, it was a collectathon like so many other Rare games, though.
Yeah,
I never played Nightmare on Elm Street.
It was good. It was a good game. It was
Friday
the
13th
decent.
On the other hand is terrible.
Oh my god,
Friday the
13th
was absolutely unfair in every way.
Yes,
like, you could just walk into a random house and Jason's there. Like, hey, look, you've got a rock, and there's the end boss.
Yeah, awesome. Exactly. Oh, look, here's a rock, and here's like the biggest boss of the whole game, and good luck, and there you go. And then like you would see like I would get like Nintendo Power and stuff, and like you would see like the character having like a pitchfork and stuff, and you're like, how the fuck can I get that pitchfork and kick his ass?
Predator on the NES is pretty terrible. So is Terminator, and this isn't a movie, but it was also based on a license. Gilligan's Island, not that.
But like honestly, yes. like why can't we get those games on there? You know, I was looking at like because I have the Nintendo service, and there's a few NES games on there, but it's like there's not like a huge allotment of them. You know, I mean, there's some classics in there, like Metroid, I think, is in there, and you know stuff like that. But damn, you know, I'm just so stupid. Like I don't know. Those games were terrible, but it's fun to go back and visit them every once in a while. But anyways, that...
You absolutely like that turn of a game called Deadly Towers, Questor.
Oh, God. Why would you... Why? Is this bad game day? Is this what we're trying to do? Just trying to
hey, top hey, there is a category for 64 games. 64 Ooh. Worst games.
Yeah, we could do that, too.
Highlight is on that game list, or I'm not doing the show anymore.
Yeah, the last...
So which highlight? Super highlight or highlight virtual highlight?
Yeah, so in a couple weeks' time...
I remember the highlight, original highlight. Like, and I thought it was just, as a kid, I was like, maybe I just didn't understand it, you know? So I tried to play it as an adult, and I'm like, no, this is a fucking turd. What the fuck? How did this shit get made?
Yeah, exactly, man. Bernie said she wanted to play Kung Fu today. That's a pretty good, fun little game. Takes about 10 minutes to beat.
Smart Mets. This is the original name of that game.
Yeah. I don't think there's any homie discounts today.
Based on a Jackie Chun movie. So.
Yeah. Kung Fu was fun. Rambo was fun. It was janky, but yeah, I agree with you, Dungeon. It was an action-adventure game. And you know, there were some games that I really want to play. Like, just put the whole catalog on there. Wouldn't you know? Come on.
All right. I said Chun because I didn't want to get sued.
Yeah. Breakman, do we have anything this week?
Nope.
Okay. If you want to send Breakman,
I'm sad.
I know. Let's end Breakman's sadness. Send him a question at RP Grinders, and we will definitely.
I can't complain. We've gotten new questions lately, and it's been good. So I'm not too upset.
Yeah. Okay. You know, send your question in. We don't want a sad Breakman. We want a very happy Breakman. So, all right, let's move on, gents.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know what you've been playing, Breakman. Final Fantasy 15.
Yes, I've been playing Final Fantasy 15. You're correct. I've just really mostly fighting monsters, trying to level up a little bit. When they added the updated edition, the Royal Edition of Final Fantasy 15, they upped the level cap to 120. I didn't know that. I thought at 99 I was going to hit the level cap, and then I'm like, wait, what? I can go higher?
Yeah.
So right now, I've mostly just been fighting monsters and doing that, like, that puzzle dungeon a little bit at a time because you can't save anywhere in it, but you can exit out and it saves your progress. So at least.
Yeah.
Do you like solve puzzles Golden Sun style?
It's more like Mario type.
So Planeswalker.
I never played that, so. But it's like jumping puzzles and stuff like that, and jumping over spike pits and shit. But it needs better checkpointing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Anything else you've been playing, Break?
Some more of the Star Wars Battlefront 2. I've gotten better at killing bots in the Starfighter.
Sections. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, baby. I can't handle a real player, but them bots are mine, bitch.
Yeah. Hold on a second, guy.
Okay. I guess I should keep talking then, since you can't teabag him in a Starfighter, though.
Mm-hmm.
You can teabag him on a foot, but usually, like, the body just disappears really quick, so there's not it's not enough time. Let me see here. I got another achievement in Battlefront.
Oh,
that's cool, I guess.
You got an achievement. Wow. Yeah. What was the achievement?
It was one of the Starfighter achievements, so unexpected.
Wow. Your worst part of the game.
I love it, though. It's so much fun. Like, the different play styles they've got in, like, that one and, like, the Ewok hunt, just... There's so much fun in that game.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Like, I didn't understand the hate. I know the beginning hate, but man, that game turned out really, really good. They did a good job with that game for sure. That's an example of what you can do to turn a game around. I wish somebody.
It was such an improvement over the original too. Like the original, the star fighting mode was just a open space. Like everybody's just thrown in. There's wide open. You know. Shoot each other. Now it's like mission based. Like one mission has you fighting like blockade runners. If you're on one side, you're fighting against blockade runners until you're able to get farther in or fight the battle station or get farther in and fight the battle station. Tractor Beam, I think.
Yeah.
No, I can't remember what it was. But you know what I mean. Like, there are mission objectives for you to do, like destroy mines on certain levels or destroy the, you know.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah.
And like I said before, like, they had that debris field, like, level, the Death Star, just pieces everywhere. And it's just, it looks so cool. And it's just, those are so good.
Yeah. It's good stuff, man, for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else you've been, playing, Rake?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right, Eric, what you been playing?
I've been playing more Seven Scarlet, just getting through the final character plot or route or whatever. I finished Disaster Report 4. I need to write the review for that. And played a little bit of Captain Full Body, and I played and beat Streets of Rage 4 on Saturday.
Yeah,
so okay. I got a review for that later.
Sweet.
I was along with the Blasphemous Terrapton DLC, which I also finished up this week.
Freak 5 is exiled, by the way.
Yeah, he would like to point out that he also got an achievement this week. His achievement was called Better Than Frank. So.
Yeah, which he got a whopping 0 achievement points for. So there you go. Congratulations.
Yeah, but still, he gets a little logo on there saying I'm better than Frank. He probably makes it his icon too. Like, it's
just rub it in, you son of a bitch. Break, are you working on an exile break? Is that what the deal is here? You know, I only have so many exiles to give out.
Here's a licensed video game that was good. Goonies 2.
Yeah, Goonies 2. Yeah. All right. What else?
Here's one that wasn't Gremlins.
Yeah, Gremlins. You guys remember playing that bad?
It was a good licensed game. Here's a bad licensed game.
Yeah. God, we could go all day with bad licensed games. Like, what? Terminator? Fucking. Jesus Christ. It could go on and on.
Total Recall.
Yeah, Total Recall was awful, man.
Total Recall should be recalled.
Yeah, they should have recalled that off the shelves, man, for sure. Okay. Let's see. What have I been playing? I will have you guys know that I played Dragon Quest XI and I beat it. Well, at least the main game, I beat. So, yep. I know. It's 2 years in the making.
Ending. If you played S, you'd have even more content to delve into.
Yeah, no.
Eric, look out your window. See if the sun's collapsing or something.
I still haven't beat the Tickington side quest stuff because that stuff gets really hard, like even harder than the final boss post game stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna beat all that probably in a couple weeks to a month. I'll have the post game content done, but I might as well just just go right into our review.
RP Grinders reviews.
Okay, I got a bunch of reviews for you guys, but since we mentioned Dragon Quest XI, it's great. I mean, it's just traditional turn-based goodness in the style of Dragon Quest with better graphics. The cutscenes are fantastic. I can't wait for the day that, you know, like, and it's probably going to happen next gen or, you know, with the PS5, where we're going to get a Dragon Quest game that looks as good as the cutscenes in the PS4. So, looking forward to that. It's charming. It's got characters that you care about. Not nearly as much as I did 8, so that's kind of the one little drawback on. But, you know, there's characters like Silvando. Silvando couldn't have been much better, man. He was one of the greatest video game characters I've ever seen. And, very flamboyant, very tough. Very poignant. The writing is spot on. It's normal fare. You know, it's a group of heroes go out into the world to save the world and stuff like that. But it is so detailed and, you know, fairly epic in scope. Even though it's a smaller world, it's good stuff. I mean, there's so much to do in the game. So many side quests to get to. I did all 47 of the side quests in the main game, so I don't know if I'm going to go for the platinum. I might, but it takes a lot. You have to craft all the items, and
you don't have to craft them all. You just need to craft a certain amount.
Okay,
And you definitely have to craft the Super Sword of Light.
Yeah, yeah, I'm getting to that.
Get to work, Frank.
Yeah, I got about probably another 40, 60, 80 hours of work to do on that game, but it took me 100 hours, which I know most people, I mean, that game probably should take, I mean, typically, what, 40 to 60 hours. It took me 100, but it's done, and it's a fine game. You know, I was a little disappointed in the ending, and then I remembered that there is post-game content and probably a better ending. But, you know, just typical save the world stuff with the boss, evil boss, and it's just a typical story, typical, you know, Japanese role-playing game, traditional turn-based. I mean, what more could you ask for, you know, Toriyama?
I know this sounds mean, but I kind of can't wait until Yuji Horii dies, as well as Koichi Sugiyama, because... One, the series needs a completely new composer, and two, they've played it safe for far too long. They need to shake it up.
Just said retired. You didn't have to say
yeah. Nobody in Japan retired, so it's kind
of I'm in agreement with you, Eric, for the most part. Like, I thought the music was fine. There was a couple of new tracks that I really like, but there's nothing that really stood out.
Other than my issues with Soyigama, you know, with him being as he is, it's like he's just phoning it in at this point.
Yeah. This game, no, they put a lot of good hard work into this game, man. I mean, I thought the music was, I mean,
game soundtrack,
Eric, let me finish. I think the game, you know, I will say, like, I think the older that those guys get, the worse the games get in this respect. Like, I felt myself for three quarters of the game feeling kind of sad. And I know there's a bit of sadness in a lot of these Dragon Quest games, and it all turns out good in the end. But, like, at least with Dragon Quest VIII, like, I didn't have that profound sense of, like, loss and sadness throughout the whole game like I did in this game, man. Like, it was just... one, like, bad thing after another, and like, you know, you just get to a point where you're like, man, I just want things to turn around, you know, and they do end up turning around, but it just, there comes a point when, I agree with you, Eric.
I think they were trying to make you feel like there were some stakes.
Yeah.
Because, like, if every ever Dragon Quest, you know there aren't going to be any stakes, because they'll always be fine.
Yeah, and this is no exception. I mean, everything always turns out fine. But I just think I agree with you that it's time for a change. Not in art direction, not in composition for the most part. But I think...
I just like a different composer altogether, doing the same kind of music.
I agree. I think there should be a change of like pace with the music, and maybe a change of pace with the storytelling. I it's the same story.
Like the protagonist needs to stop being silent, and the protagonist should be able to be a woman or let you pick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree.
Yeah,
I mean,
the protagonist is kind of like needs to go away.
Yeah, I think that we should the guys over there at Square Enix should really take a hard look at Dragon Quest, because, I mean, to be honest, like, you could make Dragon Quest like super, super special next gen, and it's not going to take much. I mean, all the elements are there. Like, keep the artwork. The artwork's fantastic. I love that art style, even though I'm not a Dragon Ball Z kind of.
I mean, 12 is already in the working, but so it's going to have to be the next game after that.
Well, isn't it because they don't want to steer too far away from tradition because of Japanese culture?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's more like Japanese Dragon Quest fans that are toxic are going to complain. Yeah. You know how much? Do you know how badly they complained when they introduced a gangrel looking fairy girl in 9?
Yeah, I know, man. No, but look, here's the thing. Like, the year's 2020. It's not. Eric, let me finish, dude. This is my review. Let me just finish it real quick.
No, Frank. I mean, sorry.
Look.
They did try to do something different in F9 by making it an action RPG, but they complained, which is why they shifted it back to it being a traditional turn-based one.
Yeah, Eric. Let me finish this, Eric. I got a few reviews to get through here. All in all, it's a fantastic. Jesus Christ. Hang on, guys.
Something happened.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, sorry about the audio issues once again. But anyways, back to Dragon Quest XI. It's a great game. It's just at this point, it's tried and true. But we should take a few more risks, like Eric says. But all in all, I really like it. The graphics are great. It's very colorful, which I really enjoy in a video game. I can't say too much bad about it. It's a by-the-numbers turn-based RPG, which is what I like. And you can grind and, you know, do everything that you could in previous entries. And it's got a decent story and one great character. I thought every other character is kind of throwaway, but Silvando is a great, great video game character. And I wish they would do maybe a side kind of, you know, thing with Silvando. But other than that, it's a great game. I give it a 9 out of 10.
They sort of did that with us.
If you have a Switch or a PlayStation 4, it's a must-have game, especially if you're an RPG fan. So that's my review of Dragon Quest XI. I will be doing another review for the post-game content at a later date whenever I get it finished. But, you know, there you go. Okay, Freak 5 is Exiled. He says, Frank has been playing Kick the Can ever since he saw a bunch of his friends turn into little kids while playing it. How dare you, son of a bitch. I'm going to review a movie called The Road Movie, which is really not a movie at all. It's just basically a bunch of dash cam footage taken in Russia of a bunch of crazy shit, like a meteor on camera, fights, car crashes, lots of car crashes, cars skidding on ice, stuff like that. So it really wasn't a movie more than just a, like Eric said, a collage of dash cam clips, just a lot of crazy shit. One guy pulled out a gun, just started shooting at random. So it's just a crazy, crazy movie. I hesitate to give it a really great score, but I mean, I found it, I couldn't, it was like a train wreck. Literally, you really could not look away from it. I give it a 7 out of 10. Check it out. It's called Road Movie. If you get a chance, check it out. It's just a bunch of dash cam footage put together, but it's worth checking out for sure. Next movie, Deep Blue Sea 3. It's not terrible, I will say that. The beginning,
it's not good when you sigh before you say
it's, yeah, I, it's because I,
it's,
I
not
don't
terrible
know,
but
I
close.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. It's better than the second one, and the second one was bad. But it's, it had some good, decent ideas, and it felt kind of flat. It basically, a research team is on this, like, abandoned man-made island where there's only, like, two people left out of 800, and they're, you know, doing some research on some sharks and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I don't know if it follows the events of Deep Blue Sea 2 to the T, but basically there were three sharks that got loose in part two that, you know, this team needed to track down. So it's basically the meeting of those two teams, and, you know, it's a little convoluted and the pacing's not the greatest. But I will say it has its merits, and the acting at first I thought was pretty terrible, but ended up not being the worst I've ever seen. So, I mean, it's slightly above average. I give it a 5.5 out of 10. It's worth a rental at the Redbox, so don't spend much more money than that. If you like a good, like, you know, ocean kind of action-y shark movie, then, you know, this will be up your alley. So it's not terrible, not great. So, you know, I don't know what to say other than check it out for yourself. Let me know what you think. At RP Grinders, we would love your feedback on that type of stuff. The last movie I want to talk about is called The Wretched. The Wretched takes the best horror elements of a lot of movies and puts them into one fantastic movie. This is a horror movie, and it's got elements of Fright Night. It's got elements of, you know, I mean, what doesn't it have elements of? It's basically revolves around Sixth Sense. It has elements of The Shining at points. So many good movies wrapped up into this movie, man. But it has its own unique style. It's basically about a kid, a teenager, that's staying with his dad after I believe a divorce, in out in the, you know, country kind of oceany type setting. And he discovers something. I don't want to ruin it because it's a great movie. It's a good horror movie with a lot of elements, that, are very surprising. And, I just don't know how to describe it without giving anything away. I want people to watch this movie. This is an excellent horror movie. This is the way horror movies should be done. And you guys should check it out. I'm going to give it a 9.5 out of 10. The only problem I have, it's not like a super scary movie, but there are elements that are creepy. There are elements that make you think. But you know, the execution at times, there were, you know, pacing issues here and there that were a little questionable, but there's not much not to like about this movie. Go check it out, especially if you're a horror fan. The Wretched is an excellent scary movie. So 9.5 out of 10, definitely check it out. Sharks on a Plane, Sharkpire, The Masquerade. Can you imagine that? Like, how in the hell would you have a vampire shark?
Sharknado got on a plane.
Like, I could see, like I think even in D&D there are, like, were-sharks, but, like, a Sharkpire, like a vampire shark, really? But, yeah, check out The Wretched. It's a great movie. I rented it from the Redbox. You will not be disappointed.
Like a Lovecraftian monster?
More like, there is a monster element to it, and the monster's more like a demon, like a ghost demon. I don't even know how to explain it. It would be kind of doing it a disservice. You just got to check it out, Eric. It's a great movie. You can get it at the Redbox. Check it out. All right, Eric, you're up with your reviews.
All right. I've got, let's see. Do you want the Blasphemous stuff first?
Yeah, let's do the Blasphemous first.
The DLC, I talked a little bit about this before, but like there was a bunch of quality of life updates along with the new content. It lets you teleport to different locations using the save points if you put enough money into the offertory box, which is in the church in the Albero town. But you apparently can't do it until after you come back from the peaks because the door to the church isn't open until then for some reason. But so it's not too far into the game. And that's actually probably a place you want to go to first because you can get locked out of the side quests and falling in at the sea because it's bugged still. Or at least it was when I originally quit the game. I think they might have fixed it at this point. But anyways, this DLC starts really early and then it unlocks a couple more areas where the specific NPC shows up. And then you can ask them to summon the thing that lets you go into like a weird pocket dimension that lets you fight a boss. And there's like 5 of these bosses you can fight. And you can pick up some nifty little accessories for doing so. And if you need a Terra's Atonement, but chances are you don't because you're playing on a new game plus and you probably level up everything by that point. So the only thing money is really good for is to give money to the offertory box so you can get more stuff and to pay for filling up bile flask, which are your Estus flask type of things in the game. But the bosses were challenging and New Game Plus wasn't too hard other than the fact that enemies hit you a lot harder, so you just gotta be more careful and learn to block a lot more. And yeah, you've really got to learn their patterns, otherwise you'll get punished.
Blasphemous is a punishing game to begin with, man. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, but I think New Game gives you a lot more leeway to like take damage. Yeah. And you could brute force it a lot more. But so it was fun having you really relearn how to play this game properly to actually fight the bosses. It makes you feel like you've mastered the game a little bit because the game kind of didn't force you to before. But, so that's that. I'll give the DLC a 9. Other than that, I've got to review Streets of Rage 4, which is... feels far more like a fan game with Streets of Rage than not, which isn't a problem, but it didn't stick to the traditional 2D art, sprite art. It went with hand-drawn art, which is fine, because Lizard Cube's got a great team, and they know how to animate their cells or whatever they're using for the game. And the only problem with the game is I think it might have stuck a little too close to the Streets of Rage 2 formula, because it's missing some of the more welcome additions, quality of life additions that exist in 3, with even with 3's difficulty balance as usually in the North American release. But because like stuff like doing a dodge to the up or down planes to get out of the way of an attack, or just being able to run in the first place was great in that game. Because like something other than the Streets of Rage 1 through 3 sprite versions of the pre-existing characters, as well as modern character models for the characters that show up in the game, like Shiva. Like Shiva should have been a playable character in both fashions, but not present yet. But yeah. Other than that, it's a good game. You can beat it in about an hour and a half, depending on the difficulty setting and how long you have to restart a level. But I'm going to give it also a 9.
Okay, sweet. So that's 2 9s. So there you go. Anything else that you reviewed, Eric?
Those are my only reviews.
Okay. All right, let's move on to everybody's favorite segment.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the Week.
All right, Breakman, your Stinko of the Week.
Well, I know we talked about it a little bit last week, and I think probably the week before, but... what's going on now is completely unprecedented in time in America. When the President of the United States and his loyal toadies are actively doing everything they can to make the election, to make it harder for the American people to vote, to the point they're removing mailboxes.
Yeah.
In some states. And... you know, they've what's going on at the post office with cutting off the overtime and getting rid of machines that sort. Just this complete open rigging of our voting system.
Yeah. This isn't new, though, Breakman. You know, this is not... I mean, the post office has been under assault for probably 20, 25 years.
Right. And we've talked about, like, a little bit of that and stuff like that. But right now, like, this, what is going on right now is far worse than it's ever been. I mean, when they're going into cities and removing post office boxes so people can't mail shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, no.
This election rigging is insane.
And you know what? The Democrats aren't doing a fucking thing about nothing.
I know they aren't.
Breakman. So, I mean, you got the spineless Dems, and you have the active fascist in the Republican Party. You know what I mean? Like, there's no other way to put it. It just is ridiculous, and you are absolutely correct. The Republicans are propagating it. But the Dems are doing nothing but sitting on their fucking hands, and it's they're despicable. They're all despicable, Breakman. But I'll get to more despicableness in a minute.
I can't believe this is where we're going in America, that it's gotten this bad.
Yeah.
The President of the United States openly admits that he is doing everything he can to make sure people can't vote by mail.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he just got his vote by mail ballots.
Yeah, well, look, we've talked about this before, Break. Trump is a symptom of the problem. He's not the problem. And that's the main issue here. You know, that's the issue at hand. And nobody wants to realize it.
The system itself isn't going to change anytime soon unless the American people really just...
Right, right. Unless, no. And it's getting to that breaking point, Eric. Like, I know, like, myself, like, I voted for, oh, God, I don't even want to say this, but I voted for Hillary. I voted for Hillary, right? Very That's reluctantly.
Right. I voted for Bush, so.
Yeah.
I voted for Bush twice.
Oh, yeah. I didn't make that mistake.
No, I, look, here's the thing, like, but I'm at the point where if enough people like me just get sick of it, eventually there will be change, Breakman. It just, what's the breaking point? Like, I'm sick of picking the lesser of two evils. Joe Biden's
I get that.
Like, I don't know if it was twice. Like, I was able to vote in 2003.
I almost think that Biden is worse than Trump, Breakman, because he, for 40 years, has advocated for cutting Social Security, which is the only thing that's keeping the American public going. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we have to look forward to when we retire.
Look, I'm not defending Biden at all. I've said that many times. Like, everybody I've talked to who is voting for Biden, except for on Twitter, you know, obviously they're Twitter is the most partisan platform ever right now, you know, just the people that hate the left and the people that hate the right.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's like Hillary won the popular vote, but Trump won the electoral vote because the electorates didn't know what the fuck they were doing. Now I think we're all done with Trump, so the electorates are probably going to vote for Biden this time.
And be careful what you wish for, because like I said, Biden's trash. I mean, he's an accused sexual assaulter.
Yep.
He's a creepy old man that likes to touch girls and sniff their hair and all this. But before you get on to more of your stinkos, Breakman, I want to get in Freak Five's. Can you take care of that, please? Freak Five's stinko. He says, "I want to get to where was it?" He said, "A long time friend's father passed away on Sunday. He was a paratrooper in World War II. That's definitely a stinko, Freak Five. Monday, there was a storm in Iowa that was basically a hurricane. Over 100,000 without power. I didn't even know that, Freak Five. That's really terrible. Some still without power. We got power back on Wednesday night, but no internet in our house. Jesus Christ, that sucks. I made my phone a hotspot last night so I could play Friday the 13th. Last stinko, on Sunday, a black man walked across the street from his home and shot a 5-year-old white boy. The right wingers are bitching that there isn't any outrage. The murderer was arrested the same day. There's no outrage because he's going to be punished for his crime." Yep, as he should be. And but the right will use any excuse. Freak Five. Okay, Breakman, what else you got? Sorry.
They really will use any excuse. Both sides do it. Like, I bitched about it all the time with Obama. Every time he did his executive order, I'm like, listen, you people who are supporting him now don't understand that the next guy is going to take what was given to him and expand upon it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, exactly what Trump's done.
This is exactly why I lost my friendship with Rob, because I tried to point it out and he didn't want to have it. And I was like, okay, if you're going to be like that, then I don't even want to bother writing for you. And I talked to somebody else on Twitter, and then since he followed me, he saw it, and then that's when he decided to block me, because I called him a shitty liberal, because he was being shitty.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't threaten to block me over calling you out on your nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, neo-libs got a neo-lib, Eric. That's just the way things are. And neo-conservatives got a neo-conservative. That's how I put it. Like, until we get a people's party.
I acted the way I did because I thought this person was my friend, and clearly he didn't feel the same way.
The internet friends are very, very fragile, man. Like, the only two people that I can...
I know, fuck you, Frank, I'm out.
Fine, I'm walking off this show. No,
I quit. Like a rando on the internet. Like, known me for like about 10 years.
Yeah, see, look, like, there's only two people. I've mentioned this before. There are certain people like I've been over backwards for, and I've gotten shit on over and over, and you know, There's certain people that I just like. You two are my true, you know, friends. I would consider you friends. Like, I know we don't hang out. We're on the other side of the country, et cetera, but you know, as friends go, you guys have never done me wrong. So that's why things are as good as they are with us, because that's just how it goes. You know, I don't know. It's just stuff to think about, like with online shit, you know. But I'm sorry, Breakman. We've interrupted you too much.
No, it's fine. I've completely lost what we were talking about anyway.
Your stinkos, man.
Oh, right, stinkos. No, it's just the Trump and all of his horse shit this week, and his executive orders that he's going to I forget what he was going to do. It's going to directly affect Social Security, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, the things that he normally wouldn't have power to do, but because Congress has given power over to the president year after year after year, not yeah. just Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton, all of them, the Congress has ceded more and more power to one man
yeah.
for way too long, and it's given power away from taking power away from the people. But then, at the same time, most of our congressional people are fucking crooked as shit.
Speaking of Congress, I might as well do
none
mine.
None of them represent us.
Yeah, I might as well do mine real quick, Breakman, and then I'll get to you, Eric. Congress, recessing. I know you had that in yours, Eric, but I wanted to mention it. It's kind of shitty. We got people that are being evicted as we are speaking. Sorry, hang on one second.
Which is a problem in itself, but
yeah.
Yeah, hang on.
He is now in 4 years outplayed Obama in 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's around that. But still, it's a ridiculous amount of golf he's played. But, you know, and he bitches about mail-in voting, but then he votes by mail.
So yeah, I know. He does a lot of projection, Breakman. You know, and anything that he does wrong, he outwardly expresses, you know, and it's...
No, like, I can't believe what he said this week. Like, he said, I am not going to fund the post office because I don't want mail-in voting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, it's sad. Insane. It's sad because it doesn't affect, like, a person, like, anybody that's rich, it doesn't affect Breakman because, I mean, they can afford to spend $10 to send a simple letter via FedEx or whatever, you know, UPS and it's going to affect all of us, you know, when we're having to go to FedEx to beg to send a letter for $4, $5, $10, you know, and instead of just buying a 50-cent stamp.
I don't know about you guys, but my parents get all their medicine through the mail.
Yep. Oh, that's going to change drastically too. My parents do too, and oof, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to think about my dad not getting his heart medicine on time, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
It's overpriced medicine because Medicare is fucked up.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Like, in the middle of the pandemic, like, you know, I talked about
Remdesivir, $300. Yay.
I talked about Bernie Sanders not because of the man himself, even though he has a solid track record of 40 years of fighting for the right things. The one thing that's struck Eric, hang on, Eric, just let me finish. You want go ahead? You want to finish, Eric? Did I interrupt you?
Sorry. No, I want to finish. I wasn't interrupted at all,
Mr. Awesome.
Okay, look, here's the thing. Like, it's not about Bernie, right? It's about his ideas, and the big one was Medicare for all. Like, we shouldn't have to worry about, like, Breakman, your dad should never have to worry about paying for one iota of medicine. Neither should any citizen in this country, like, at all. Like, if I get sick, I should be able to go to the doctor, but I can't. You know why, Breakman? Because the last time I went to the hospital, they charged me $1,000 for less than 10 minutes. And there's no way I can afford that. You know, so there's a huge problem. There's a huge, you know, and people will say, well, you're not working and all this. What difference does it make if a person is working or not working? If you're in this country, you deserve health care because you're a human being, you know. And there are times when people, like, look, right now, in the middle of the pandemic, people are being kicked off of their health insurance and with no way of getting health care. So Why is this such a radical idea to take?
And no signs of us being out of this pandemic anytime soon.
Right. There's no. We will have lost 300,000 people by the end of the year, Breakman.
I saw that estimate. That's like.
That's insane. That's like three times of what an average flu takes.
And the president of the United States is more worried about people voting by mail than anything else. When you ask him about the people that have died so far, he says it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, Brake, he's a symptom of the problem. He's not the problem.
You turn on things like Fox News and Tucker Carlson talks about like the low percentage of people that have died. Like, he's balled everybody up to, like, these hundreds of thousands, 160,000 people are dead, and he's made it, like, it's only, like, 1%, you know, something like that.
Yeah, like, Freak Guy
says... it down to, like, one tiny number. Yeah. All these lives lost, all the families affected.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily.
Although I did see that his brother's in a heap of trouble. I wonder if it's COVID-related, and I wonder if that might jar things in his pea brain.
They're gonna fake that. If he has COVID, there's no way we'll ever find out.
Right, right.
That shit.
But maybe it'll flip a switch in his mind. You never know, man. He flip flops all the time.
Speaking of which, I hope Alex Jones gets COVID.
Oh God, no, that guy's.
What I've heard about him and his family, like when his dad died, he went to go see a movie or play golf or something like that. Same thing when his brother died. Like he just. The way they were raised as a family, they were raised competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
So he looked at his siblings as his enemies, really.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. It's the atmosphere that Fred Trump created.
Yeah.
Trump was created by Fred Trump, and the system gave us President Trump. Yeah. So. Yep.
Okay. Real quickly here, Freak 5 says, "I wonder how this will affect our military overseas. Don't they vote by mail too?" Exactly. So. I mean, ask them. The military is going to be the last stand. If Trump doesn't want to get out of office, he's not going to. And it's going to be up to the military. The military is going to be the last bastion of democracy and whether or not we're a fascist country going forward.
I mean, he's already said he doesn't trust the election results. Like, right. Hey, the election isn't until November, you know. We still got a couple 2.5 months, and he's like, I don't trust the results already. Right. Like, so even if he gets killed in a landslide, he's not going to go out of office because he's going to say this is rigged and, you know, the Russians hacked it and stuff. Even though we know the Russians have been hacking for him for, 4 years now.
That's another thing. That's such a minor part of everything. Like, people are into this Russiagate thing, Breakman, and it's like, this isn't new. You know, we fuck with their elections all the time.
I don't think it's as minor as you say it is, but it isn't new. You're right. This has been going on for a long time.
No, it doesn't. It has Russia has had zero impact on who we've had in office. It's not a thing. Like it's not a thing, man. This is perpetuated by MSNBC and CNN and you know.
See, the thing is, Russian propaganda is. Being repropagated by the right wing. I mean, it's been doing that for years now. They've been reposting like conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory, and they've been leaning close to the two sites like OAN.
Yeah, that's a different issue. That's propaganda, Breakman, and we could go into a whole.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a lot of that is Russian influence.
Yeah, I mean,
so like Russia's is a lot more influence in this. In this country than you think.
It's negligible, Breakman. Like, we could talk about this later. I mean, we don't have time.
At the same time, you could be right because a lot of those people would just look for something else.
Right.
Like a lot of these people are already brainwashed into the right versus left.
Right.
Like,
right.
The libs are evil, you know?
Right. Or the conservatives are evil or whatever, you know? It just. I mean, there's propaganda that happens all the time. The United States does it all the time. We've
done it to other countries for so fucking long. It's, I'm not arguing with that.
There's no argument, Breakman. Like, I think we're on the same page, man. It's
so frustrated with everything.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. Okay, and then the other thing I got real quickly is I got a really bad summer cold. I don't know if you guys are able to kind of. Gather from my voice.
But... I've noticed that. I didn't want to bring it up. I figured it would be your stinko.
Yeah, it's not COVID for sure. So you know, that's the one good thing, but, you know, it still is a shitty cold. Yeah. All right, Eric, real quickly, you got, I know I already went over the Congress one, but what?
Yeah, I'll just, yeah, fuck them, but yeah. Also fuck Epic, Apple, and Google, because
yeah.
Epic is all but hurt that Apple and Google have banned Fortnite from their stores.
Yeah, well, they did
on
some...
the mobile side.
Yeah, I see Apple's point of view. I see Google's point of view because Epic decided to, like, get money behind Apple's back.
Yeah, but Apple also kind of has a monopoly, and they overcharge. Like, 30% like 30% of
right.
the cut.
30% is way too much, and that's that. I think that's stuff that Congress should look at. And breaking up big companies like Apple and Google and Epic and all that stuff is...
But back to fucking Epic again, because they quoted 1984 and were like, oh, they're tyranny.
Yeah, I know. That's so stupid. We got Black Lives Matter going on and cops beating the shit out of people and killing people.
In which part of the story, the plot of Rise of the Skywalker was revealed in a game and not the movie itself about the Emperor returning. Yeah. And you could also play as John Wick. Fuck this game.
Yeah. Freak5 says, I listen to a lot of lit RPG and a lot of it is written by Russians. And I noticed that the different authors' description of Americans is the same way Republicans describe Democrats. Yeah, yeah. So Epic was mocking the 1984 commercial
yeah,
that Apple
they
did.
Yeah, also quoted 1984 the book. So yeah. Fuck both of those counts.
Yeah, there was a reference to both of those. But yeah, I get you, Dungeon, for sure. Okay. And also I dig the apple with the worm coming out. I thought that was kind of funny too, but whatever. Real quickly, Sweetos, I might as well do mine. Finally beating DQ11's mine. Eric, I didn't see any new ones on yours. Breakman, your Sweeto.
Mine goes to the reporter who asked Trump if he regrets any of the lies he's told.
That was pretty epic, man.
Wait, is that why he had nightmares back a while ago? Yeah. Where you just get up at like 2 a.m. or whatever, screaming.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on that break? I mean, that's
no. I mean, it was great. And then Trump like tried to pretend like he couldn't hear him, and he just made sure that he understood. Like,
yeah,
the
yeah.
lies you told. Yeah, you.
Right. You. But. You. Exactly. Okay. Let's move on to. It's a football. Oh boy!
The screen seems to be flashing. By the way,
not anymore, man. It's okay. Yeah.
So the tweet goes: I love Triggered by Donald Trump Jr.'s book. Obviously, mm-hmm. The best book I've read in a lot by time.
A lot by time.
The best book I've read in a lot by time. Yes.
In a lot by time. Freak Fight says, one Sweeto, my mom being a prepper finally paid off. While we had no internet, we stayed at her house because she has a gas generator. That's actually really cool, man. Sorry about
generator.
Yeah. Smooth generator.
Because
how does an apartment like me get a generator though?
Yeah, I know. You can't really do it in an apartment, man. Smooth.
Yeah, like I want my own bomb shelter, like huge. Like I want it like those.
I could switch to solar and just store solar energy, but I don't know.
Yeah,
like okay. The ones they have in movies where it's got like pools and jacuzzis and shit yeah. like that. And it's got an arcade.
Yeah, that'd be sweet,
it's like,
man.
It's 40 feet below ground, so yeah. nothing can hurt it. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Feet below ground, yeah.
Or it's like Lost, where they're using geothermal energy.
Yep. Okay, free for all, guys. We got to get through this because we don't got a lot of time. But we're down to 32 games, N64 games. We're going to whittle them down to 16 for next week. Let's get right into it. What do you guys say?
Sure.
All right.
Let's do this.
The first match, Kirby 64 versus WWF No Mercy. I'll go with you, Breakman.
WWF No Mercy.
Okay, Eric, your choice.
Kirby. I'm not a big wrestling fan.
Okay. WWF No Mercy was the good one on N64. It's a great game. I'm going with WWF.
Nice.
Yep.
All right. All right. Okay. I'm
barely because I did like Kirby 64. But yes, WWF No Mercy is a great game. All right. Next matchup, Excitebike.
My biggest problem with WWF was that it felt too slow for me.
My biggest problem with WWF was it wasn't WCW.
Yeah, that's true too. Well, you should watch it.
I was always a bigger WCW fan, so I would prefer to
Breakman. You would love.
I was upset when the license changed, but WWF No Mercy is probably my favorite wrestling.
Yeah, Breakman, you got to check out AEW, man. It's good shit, man, for sure. Okay, Excitebike 64 versus Diddy Kong Racing. I'll start with you, Eric.
Excitebike.
All right, Breakman.
I am actually going to go with the game Eric hates, Diddy Kong Racing.
Ooh, it's pretty tough.
I thought it was like Mario Kart, but with, you know, flying levels and shit. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you too. Sorry, Eric, I have to go against your wishes again. I'm going to go with Diddy.
I hated that game. I felt like I got lost in it too much.
Yeah, I know.
That could happen. Yeah. I'm not saying it was the best racing
game.
I'm just saying compared to, you know, fairly speaking.
Yeah, okay.
Also, it barely has anything to do with Diddy Kong. Yep. He's just a character along with a bunch of other generic characters.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the same way of Mario Kart. I mean,
yeah, but no official connection to the Donkey Kong Country. It was originally supposed to be like generic animals racing the game. Yeah.
Oh, that is right. I do remember that.
Freak Vibe says, my wife rented the Sonic movie last night. I liked it. I did too, Freak Vibe. I thought it was a really good movie, actually, for a video game adaptation as they go. Okay, next matchups. This is a really good one. I'm going to go first on this one. Star Fox 64 versus Turok 2, Seeds of Evil. Now, I've talked about this before.
You know what you're
going to say. Turok 2 is an underrated video game. I'm picking Turok 2, and I know that's blasphemous, but I'm picking Turok 2. Star Fox for Eric, you break, man.
You know what? I like Turok 2. I really do, but I like Star
Fox. What is this?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm
okay.
I'm locking off. Everybody's
going to vote. Wait, did you not let me finish? Did
yeah,
you not hear what
he
I
picked
said
Star
before
Fox.
You walked off, Eric? I picked Star Fox.
You can't use my line, Eric. How
like,
dare
well,
you?
Well, he was getting mad. And, like, listen to
all right, Star Fox survives by the skin of its teeth, man. You guys are wrong. I think Turok 2 is a highly underrated game, but whatever.
You could beat a tank in Star Fox.
Yeah, I know. Star Fox is a great game. I don't have too much of an issue. Okay.
Better frame rate. It's a better game.
How dare you? Okay, F-Zero X versus Mario Party. I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna go with you, Breakman. What are you picking?
I'm gonna go with Mario Party. I had a lot of fun. That was something that I could play with anybody, really. My mom would play that game sometimes. You know.
I had a lot of fun with F-Zero too. I do like Mario Party. This isn't the best Mario Party entry. I'm gonna go with F-Zero. Eric, what do you say?
F-Zero.
Oh, F-Zero! First kind of. Upset of the day?
I don't think that's an upset. I mean, a lot. F-Zero.
Hell no, Freak. Diddy Kong Racing is worse than Dragon Ball
Z. Oh, how dare you, Freak 5. You son of a bitch. All right. Next matchup, Super Smash Brothers versus NFL Blitz 2000. I'll go with Eric.
I never really played Blitz, so I have to go with Smash Brothers.
All right. Breakman?
This is a hard one.
Yeah.
These are both fun games.
Yes, they are.
I think this would be more fun to keep for me to watch than play.
They're both fun to play.
I need to think about this one.
Just like Mario Party is a more fun game to watch other people play.
I'm going to go with Super Smash Brothers. I like both of these games a lot, but I think like Smash Brothers really started a franchise.
Yeah, I'm in agreement, man. NFL Blitz was such a fun game, though, man.
Yeah,
but
it was. Like, it's like piling on after you tackle somebody and just showboating when you're running, running the ball and nobody can catch it.
Yeah,
nobody can catch it, shit like
that. Okay, next matchup. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 versus Jet Force Gemini.
You're breaking out a little bit. What'd you say?
I said Super Smash Brothers. I'm sorry. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 or Jet Force Gemini?
To me first?
Yeah, Breakman. Go for it.
Okay, well, I hate Jet Force Gemini, so the other one, whatever else it is.
Tony Hawk, okay.
I'm going to vote for Tony Hawk just because I don't have too much experience with Jet Force. I mean, I liked it, but I still don't have a lot of experience with it.
Okay.
And And, like, even though this version of Tony Hawk Pro Skater is a version I have played, I did play, like, a mini version of it in Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
I would say Jet Force Gemini, but I'm overruled on this one, which is okay. That's why we do this. All right, next matchup, 007, The World Is Not Enough versus Pokemon Puzzle League. I'm going to go first. I think 007, The World Is Not Enough is another underrated game. I'm picking 007. Let's go with you, Eric.
Pokemon Puzzle League.
All right. That leaves it up to Breakman, 007, or Pokemon.
I really hate picking Pokemon over a Bond game, but that, like, everything after GoldenEye was just kind of really weak for a while. Like, The World Ends With You and, what was the other one?
Or The World's Not Enough.
World's Not Enough.
And Agent Under Fire was the other one, I think. And there might have been one more after that.
Agent Under Fire happened, like later. I'm talking about the N64 games.
Yeah, no, this is, like,
there's, like, based on one more.
I know, but I'm talking about the three N64 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, this game is, yeah. I like 007 World Is Not Enough. I thought it was underrated for sure, but
you know what? I'm gonna go with that then.
Oh,
since you like it so much, I'm gonna side with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like world ending or anything, but
But I mean, Puzzle League is a great game, but it's got the Pokemon thing on it, I guess.
All right.
If you had a different skin on it, I'd like it more. But the game itself is fun.
There was a Mickey version of it that came out, like, later, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Next matchup.
I'm thinking not as kitty, you know, maybe. I don't know. Like, regular blocks like Tetris.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. Yeah. Next matchup.
Or Panel de Pond game is based on.
Yep. All right, guys. Next matchup. Ogre Battle 64 versus Star Wars. I believe it's Episode 1 Racer.
Ogre Battle.
Ooh, okay. What say
you? The RPG representation somewhere here.
What say you, Breakman?
Like I said last week, I have a rule that unless it comes up two games I never played, if I never played a game, which in this case Ogre Battle 64, which I regret, I never ever had a chance. I regret not playing it. I have to pick the other game.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
But I don't feel bad about it because Racer is a very popular game. It was a fun racing game.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement.
Racer's better than the arcade anyway.
Ogre Battle's fun, but Star Wars Racer is definitely a lot of fun. I'm going with Star Wars as well. All right, here's a matchup right here, guys. Ocarina of Time versus Perfect Dark. I'll start with you, Breakman.
Oh, shit.
That's these a good games. One, man.
Yeah. Oh, man, I like both of these games.
Yeah. There can be only one.
I know. Perfect Dark kind of worked off of 007. If that game never happened, we wouldn't have had...
Yeah.
We wouldn't have Perfect Dark, but...
It's stacked with options, though.
I don't think there was anything really like Ocarina of Time before Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina is also responsible for many auto-lock camera feature.
Oh, my God. It does have the most annoying character in the history of video games. Hey! Over here!
That you don't have to actually listen to.
Hey! Hey!
I like that for every time. So
Breakman, I love that impression, man. That's awesome right there, man. What are you picking, Breakman?
Because of that little fucking piece of shit, I'm picking Perfect Dark.
Oh, okay. So it's up to me. Eric, what are you picking?
Ocarina.
Oh, this is a tough one for me, but Breakman, I'm sorry, dude. Ocarina of Time is an all-time great game. I can't deny it, dude. It's
Perfect Dark has one of my absolute favorite weapons, though. The laptop gun.
Oh, yeah.
You can use it like a regular machine gun, but you can place it down as a turret, too.
Yep.
I love that thing.
Yep. All right, hang on, guys.
I kind of resented Perfect Dark featuring a Roswell Gray in it, though, for no reason.
I'm not mad at that it won, because I like that game a lot.
Yeah, Ocarina of Time's a great game, man. Perfect Dark, though, man. Jesus Christ. If you look on the all-time greats on Metacritic, Perfect Dark is
Don't
right.
Don't play Perfect Dark Zero.
Yeah.
You'll
be
disappointed.
Okay, here's another Titanic matchup, guys. GoldenEye 007 versus Majora's Mask. I'm going to start with you, Eric.
Majora.
Okay, what about you, Breakman?
Oh, GoldenEye, my god, that was the best game on the system.
I had
so much fun playing that game with my friends.
Yeah,
that was one of those games where, you know, screen looking was just, it was war, you know. Don't look at my screen, I can't help it, it's right there.
I'm with you, man, I'm picking GoldenEye 007. That is an all-time game, great. As is Majora's Mask, taking nothing away from Majora's Mask, it's a great game, but, I mean, if we didn't pick GoldenEye, then it would be Ocarina of Time versus Majora's Mask, man. So let's avoid that matchup for now. All right, Super Mario 64 versus Paper Mario. I'm going to go first on this one. Oh, boy. This is another matchup of Titanic
Paper
games.
Paper Mario for me.
I'm picking Super Mario 64, Eric. I like Paper Mario, but very rudimentary to what the series has become. But without Paper Mario, there would be no, you know, modern Paper Marios. But I'm going to go with Super Mario 64 just because it was kind of groundbreaking, kind of taking Mario into the 3D world. And it was a good game. So I'm picking that. What are you picking, Breakman? You're the tiebreaker.
You know, I have a lot of frustrations with that game that I think Mario Sunshine fixed for the most part.
Yeah.
Well, some people would disagree and they say Sunshine's the worst game.
Those people are wrong. They should be
executed. It's got difficulty balance issues, but it is still fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game, and those who don't like it should be publicly executed.
The best thing about for me for Sunshine is just how freaking weird it is.
Yeah. So what are you picking?
Voice acting, that's not great, but it's there.
Yeah. What are you picking, Drake?
It was upbeat and happy, and like you can get sunglasses from Mario and shit like that.
Yeah.
I love Sunshine.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about Sunshine. We're talking about 64, which, like I said, I had a lot of problems with. But it was a groundbreaking game.
Groundburger.
It's a groundburger game. I mean, not to say that.
What if they made a Burger Time game with Mario?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. I'd play that. So, I like Burger Time. So, Mario 64.
All right. Man, Paper Mario, Super Mario. Okay, so Super Mario moves on. Let me mark that down. Super Mario 64. All right, so here's the next matchup. Dr. Mario 64 versus Mickey Speedway USA. I'm going to go first on this one. I think Mickey Speedway is a criminally underrated game on the Nintendo 64.
Better than Mario Kart.
It is better than Mario Kart. I'm picking Mickey Speedway. I do like Dr. Mario 64, but I think Speedway's...
There are better versions of Dr. Mario, though. So.
Yeah. Mickey Speedway's an underrated game. What say you, Breakman?
I never played Mickey Speedway, so...
All right, so you're picking Mario. So you're the tiebreaker, Eric.
Mickey.
All right, Mickey in an upset moves on. Mickey's Speedway.
Hey, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fun game.
Hey, Ricky, you're so fine. You're so fine.
Oh, no, boy. All right, next matchup here.
And he's singing like her.
Yeah. Freak Fight says, too bad Dr. Mario wasn't a gynecologist. I would have played the hell out of that game. That is
Jesus
true.
Jesus Christ, Freak.
Bernie picked Mario 64. Sorry, Bernie, you're overruled.
So Peach is like, instead of a bottle, you got a like Peach like laying down with a dress up or something.
Oh, man. You guys should have seen what I seen on Twitter, I think yesterday or earlier today. Like, porn wrestling. It was like anime porn wrestling. I don't even know what the hell it was.
I thought you were talking about like that. Like, there's a wrestling, like, there is like wrestling porn, like
really?
Fighting porn and stuff like
wow.
that.
Wow.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen it. All right, here we go. Conker's Bad Fur Day, speaking of foul-mouthed stuff. Versus Duke Nukem 64. I'm going to start with you, Breakman.
Oh, wow. It does not hold up today.
None of these games.
Day.
Yeah.
Well, neither of them does, but
yeah.
I think
I know, that's true. A lot
better.
Of these games don't. I mean, like, GoldenEye was a fantastic game, but it's unplayable now. Like,
yeah.
One
yeah.
stick thing
well,
like I can do.
Well, Duke doesn't hold up just because, well, that whole shtick is not held up.
Yeah.
But I'd sooner play Duke Nukem than Honk Conquer, so.
You know what? Conquer had a pretty fun remake as far as like a multiplayer, the multiplayer in it.
Yeah.
When they remade the game, the story sucks still on the original, but the multiplayer was kind of fun. You know, versus the teddy bears and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not this one. I guess I'm gonna pick Conquer.
So I have to be the tiebreaker again.
Yeah.
This is tough for me. I like them both, okay. I'll go with Duke Nukem. You know, all out of bubblegum, you know? I mean, come on, you can't go wrong with that, so.
Yeah, his quotes were definitely funny. I loved all the...
Yeah.
The.
I like him
basically
just as
he quoted Ash most of the time.
Yeah. Okay, here's a matchup. Mario Golf versus Quake. I'll go first on this. I think Mario Golf is a great game. On the 64, one of my favorites. I'm going to go with Mario Golf. I might be in the minority here. Weiland says Quake, so there you go. What are you doing, Eric?
Quake,
what are you doing? Break?
I'm actually doing Quake as well.
All right, Quake.
You know, Mario Golf is a great game.
Two shrubs against each other.
Yeah.
I have so much fun taunting friends with... Hey!
You know, like yeah. Yeah, Quake was a great game, man.
I
tried to
be Wario as much as possible, so I could go,
Was BMX XXX on the N64? Nope, that was the GameCube Freak 5. Which is really odd that BMX XXX was on the GameCube of all
terrible
systems.
Game.
Yeah, it's a terrible game. I used to have it. It was just basically strippers, is what they should have called that game. All right, Mario Party 3. Versus Blast Corps. I'm going to go first. I'm picking Mario Party 3. I think there was significant upgrades on that game. Blast Corps, ton of fun, but, you know. All right, Eric, what are you picking?
Blast Corps is fun, but it has a limited appeal.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, as much as I like Blast Corps, I'm going to go with Mario Party.
You, Breakman?
I think I'm going to go ahead and make that unanimous.
All right, the first unanimous one of today, I think. Mario Party... 3 moves on. All right. And the last matchup for this week, guys, Indiana Jones and the Infernal Machine versus Beetle Adventure Racing, which is another criminally underrated racer on the N64. What say you, Breakman?
You know, I come to think of it, I think I did. I said last week I didn't play Beetle Adventure Racing, but you know, I think actually I did.
Uh-huh.
Now that I remember, I did play it.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go with Beetle Adventure Racing.
Ooh, that's kind of an upset. All right, Eric, what are you picking?
Racing.
I'm in agreement. So Beetle Racing moves on. So that's it for this week, guys. Beetle Adventure Racing. Let me mark this down. Boom. We are down.
Next week, all of it.
No, it'll be the week after. Eric, next week we'll get down to 8, and then the following week we'll do all the championship rounds, and finally Freak 5 said he loved BMX XXX. I didn't think it was as bad as what people said, Freak 5, but mostly it was just so you could see the strippers in the game.
Well, it was based on the BMX game, which was an okay game at the time. Like, it was just, to me, BMX was, it was the not Tony Hawk game. It wasn't Tony Hawk, so it wasn't as good in any way.
Yeah.
But what? The gameplay was still alright in BMX. It was just...
Yeah, it was just...
They added triangle boobs.
Yep, yep. Well, they had, like, full motion videos in there, too, that you could unlock and stuff like that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay.
What was that game that, got in a lot of trouble for having full motion video because of Girls Gone Wild?
Night Trap?
The guy game.
Oh, the guy game.
That's it. Yeah.
Also for being horribly, you know,
sexist.
I mean, the game looked like shit. I think I played it once, turned it on just because.
Yeah.
The game. a game shop and just wanted to see how bad it was.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
We could have had underage girls in it, yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. There were some underagers in there. But, okay.
Games with nudity in them.
I think I actually, at one point I actually owned that game, man.
So, we're talking just about pure Arrow game, and there's a ton. But
yeah.
Yeah, but if you're thinking American games, there's not that many. Yeah. I mean, really, like I can think of, well, now there are, but.
Yeah.
I mean, before modern times, there really weren't. Like, yep. Games like Playboy the Mansion.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That actually
was
wasn't terrible.
It was a bad game, but it was just fun for being stupid.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
You're walking around just trying to get laid for the most part.
Yeah. Okay, here's a preview of next week's matchups. We got for, ooh, this is a good one, guys. Ocarina of Time versus GoldenEye 007. Hold on. Jesus Christ.
Should be broken again.
Okay, so quick matchup for next week. Sorry about all the audio issues this week, but a couple of quick ones. Super Smash Bros. Versus Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, and another one would be Super Mario 64 versus Mickey Speedway USA. So those are a couple of the matches that you will have to tune in to next week to find out who wins. So there you go. You should do a bracket of games with nudity in them. That would be an interesting one, Freak 5, for sure. We'll think about it. We're going to do, each of us is going to pick...
River City Ransom.
River City Ransom.
I feel very uncomfortable because I'm surrounded by a bunch of pretty men.
How dare you, Eric? I'm not
I mean, what?
Huh? Custer's Last Stand. There's another one. That's a horrible game, man. If you could find that game, it's worth a lot of money right now. But okay, so next week we will
hot coffee. Remember the drama around hot coffee?
Oh my god, yeah. It's so stupid. Like it's so tame compared to video games nowadays. Like who gives
I don't even
a
think
shit?
She got like topless even, did she?
You could see pixelated boobs, yeah, for sure.
Ooh, pixelated boobs, all right.
Did you have to, like, hack the console versions to see that?
Yeah.
It was some sort of cheat or something, yeah.
Yeah, you had to do all kinds of shit, yeah. But... Yeah. Okay, guys, so we're down to 16 games, so next week we'll whittle those down to 8, and then the following week we will crown our champion, so lots of fun. So, all right. I think a real quick question for you guys before we go. If you were to recommend, because I was talking to Bernie about this, if you were to recommend a strategy RPG, like a you know, kind of an uninitiated, you know, like just entry level strategy RPG, which one would you recommend? And I'm going to you guys because you guys are
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Final Fantasy. Okay, so it's not too difficult to get into.
Well, if you think the original is too difficult, you could play like Tactics Advance.
Okay. What do you say, Eric?
That's more of a kind of tactics light, and it really, I think, eases people in.
I suggested the game, the first Disgaea. I don't know if that might be a little... I think
it's more complicated than tactics.
Okay, all right. So tactics,
but then
okay.
Tactics has got a really hard story to follow because of some of the names in that. There are some ridiculous names in that game.
Yeah. What would you say, Eric?
For what? I'm kind of zoned out.
What game would
He's
you?
Done.
What strategy RPG would? Over. What strategy RPG would you recommend for the uninitiated, like an entry level strategy RPG?
Shining Force.
Shining Force. Okay. All right.
Shining Force or Shining Force 2.
Okay.
Preferably 2, because I think 2 was a better game overall.
All right, Shining Force. Because Bernie kind of was interested. I said Disgaea. I didn't think Disgaea was.
But like, if you're talking about like a modern game, I mean, you probably War of the Lions version of Tactics is okay. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in there, but there is a tutorial that tells you how to play, so you could do that. Otherwise, you'll be overwhelmed.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster agrees. He said Shining Force is a solid pick. He says,
"Tactics." You can play Shining Force 2 on a Sega Mini, so or not 2, but Shining Force.
Yeah, Tactics story can get pretty convoluted, but it's worth it. Some of the battles can also get a bit tricky. Freak Fight says, "Remember, people excited by pixelated boobs were also the same people watching the scrambled porn channel hoping to see
it. That's not fair.
Breakman. Oh, man. Back in the day.
We were desperate. We didn't have options. I know.
We didn't, man. How dare you bring up
that? No boob music.
How dare you? Oh, it's a somber little tune. All right, let's
As hard as it is, I could recommend. If you had a 3DS, you could probably play a Devil Survivor overclocked because it is. Even though it's hard, it's still easy to pick up and play.
Yeah. Freak Five says Eric is thinking about pixelated boobs.
How about you are, you freaking disgusting pig?
Wow. Way to treat Freak Five chaos, Eric.
I just got done telling him you're all a bunch of pervs, and you don't double down on that.
Yeah, well, that's what this show is all about, doubling down. Breakman, indeed, I felt like I was struggling because of the scaling, but somehow managed to push my army through.
I'm tired.
Oh, we're talking about Final Fantasy Tactics.
And I have to work.
Yeah. Okay. Even
some battles can definitely get harder in that game.
Yeah.
But one of the things about Tactics is you can go grind all you want, so... Once you've completed the battle, you can go back and just go into that map and fight monsters over and over again and level up your characters if you want.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah. You're a bullshit...
Which is one reason I recommend it.
You're a bullshit liar, Breakman. You just wanted to see Lara Croft naked. Just see her naked. Okay.
I remember, how bad... she had, these polygon boobs, and I remember, some kids were like, oh my god, I guess you're topless and shit like that. And
yeah, it's bullshit.
Trying to get her, in the... uncomfortable situations. I was trying to always kill her in the most painful, cruel ways.
I know. How dare
that's,
you?
That's something you could definitely do in the reboot.
Yeah. Okay. Let's end the show. Let's do some plugs. Breakman, plug away, please.
You can follow the harmonica. and you can follow me at break_man on Twitter and at RP Grinders, where you can ask Dear Breakman a question.
Yes.
You know, we can't save your life unless you ask us to.
Right. All right, Eric, you're up.
I'm going to plug BostonBashForget.com, TotallyGN.com. I write reviews for the sites. I got nothing up this week. I tried sending something this to TotallyGN, but it's not ready yet, I guess.
Okay.
I'll talk to him about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, anyways, if you like what I've written and you want to support me, sending me as a little dollar on my Patreon to help out. And that is in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG.
All right. Freak Five says, back in my day, we had to walk uphill both ways in the snow just to see a scrambled boob. Yeah, exactly. Kids have it easy these days. They just have to type boob into Google. Yeah, pretty much. Okay.
Yeah, if we wanted to see boobs, we had to turn our calculator upside down.
I also want to address something. I am a big pervert, but I also know there's a time and a place for such things, and always constantly talk about it would be tiresome. So.
Yeah, and this is the perfect show for it.
I just think you guys are dirty Gen Xers, that's why.
Yeah, pretty much, man. Pretty much. Okay, I'm just giving you shit, Eric. We always give you shit, Eric, because you're like the kid of the show, even though you're not a kid, you know? All right.
I'm nearly 40.
You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. You can follow me on any of the systems, RP Grinders, with the capital RPG for the systems that it's appropriate to capitalize. Send us in questions, like Breakman said, at RP Grinders. He would be more than happy to feature your question or comment on the show.
I mean, we're trying to save the world here. We can only do it once.
Frank, that's a toddler.
Pretty much, Breakman, you son of a bitch. Okay, and that's about all we got time for this week, unless you guys have anything else. Anything else, gentlemen?
No, apparently Frank or Freak got all his porn from his dad, and lucky bastard.
Stealing your dad's porn.
Oh, man, you guys are sick. Okay, thanks to everybody in chat. Dungeon Buster was in there, good friend Freak5, KS Wyland was in there. If I didn't see you in there, sorry, I missed. Bernie was in there. because Bernie's sitting right next to me. But
almost forgot about her. She's right next to me.
Yeah, she's right next. She gave me a good nudge. Like, hey, you better mention me, you son of a bitch. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. He used to sell his magazines to people at school.
Wait, did you get in trouble for selling his magazines, or did you just get new ones that you forgot about?
Jesus Christ, man.
Well, that was the only way to get a hold of him when I was a kid, was from other kids in school.
I found him in the trash, man. Like, my dumpster was a never-ending, you know.
I didn't live in an apartment.
I didn't live in an apartment.
I lived in a garage.
So. I lived in a house.
I lived in a Catholic family, so there were no dirty magazines.
Yeah, right.
Well, I thought you were saying like it was like a dumpster, like public trash, but you lived in a house.
Like, if I went to porn, I had to search on the internet, and it wasn't until like 1995.
We had these like dumpsters out in the alley that like it was like community dumpsters type things.
Okay, I gotcha.
Sorry, okay. No worries. All right. Thanks to all the archive listeners as well. If you want to join us live, we're live every Friday 7 Eastern Time, twitch.tv/RPGrinders. Also on YouTube, just search RPGrinders. And I think that's all I got. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we're out, everybody.
Internet kills pretty nice.
Yeah.
And now you got Pornhub, so you got videos. Who needs pictures?
Yeah, I think it's hard for video.
Yeah.
I know. But, you know, if you only got one magazine.
Yeah. I remember finding the Swedish bikini model Playboy in the trash one time, you know?
That shit was good. The first thing I